This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now it's Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt with the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty, we're back. Hello there.
We are back. Yes, welcome to the Wintergreen. No, it's not Wintergreen anymore. Mike Winters Lawn and Garden
Show. There you go.
And if you have a question about any of your garden projects or your landscaping or anything like that, you can call 673-4464. Ask your question. We'll have a good conversation. I won't even holler.
He's already hollered at me, so yeah, he's already got that out.
Yeah, I already got it out of my system as soon as I got in this room. Oh, golly. But anyway, you know, actually, it's a pretty beautiful day out there. It's 81, 82 degrees. I mean, it feels almost cold, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
I mean, wow, man, it's cold. 82. Oh, after, you know, a few of those 100-degree days. They can take that 100 and stick it back in the Death Valley where it belongs.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something else.
No, I don't say things like that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you better be. Well, anyway, it's really starting to feel like fall. You know, the mornings like at my place are 42 degrees, 43 degrees on the front porch, and I'm going, whoa, I'm glad I wore a long-sleeve shirt today. And, of course, then I get out of my canyon, and it goes up to 44. You know, it's a heat wave. But the cool mornings are getting cooler by the day, and ain't too long before we're going to see one about, you know, 38. And people are like, it's winter time. Yeah. But the small amount of rain has at least washed the dust off the leaves, and the soil in some places is still a little damp where it's shady. And any rain this time of year is good because it relieves the stress of our plants, and that is a good thing when you can get those plants a little got some moisture finally. You know, some coolness.
My Easter lily's loving this weather.
Oh, I'm sure it'll probably grow 3 feet in the next month.
There's at least 4 or 5 new sprouts coming up.
You know, I'll leave it alone and see how big it'll get.
Okay,
when it starts coming in your front door, cut it.
Okay.
That's my advice to you as a professional landscape
contractor. Just leave it alone.
Leave it alone, man. But if you are gearing up for a fall landscape projects, one of the first tasks actually you should do, if you've not done anything yet, is a soil test. Dig a few test holes in different locations in your yard to determine the soil structure. In other words, is it rock? Is it pure clay? Or is it halfway decent soil? And, then you have to make a determination as to, or call in a professional to make a determination for you. Is it a doable deal, or do you have to amend the soil? And like I say, if it's clay, you're going to need some type of a compost material to your planting holes. And the soil should be mixed so that, you know, whatever you plant will root quickly and actually survive, rather than trying to stick it in pure clay, which Douglas County has
plenty of.
90% of Douglas County is pure clay. The other 10% is rock. So anyway, you have to, you know, make it compatible for plants to live. And if you have a slope in your yard, you know, it can be just something minimal, or it can be a steep bank, which in Roseburg, there's a lot of those in the front yards along the streets and stuff that they might be 8 or 10 feet or even more, and kind of a 50-degree angle or something like that. And you've got to test that soil to make sure whatever plant materials you choose are going to actually survive in that stuff. And, like I say, slopes and poorly drained areas will need a mix of at least 50% compost with the native soil for any plant growth or survival. And if you encounter, like, lots of rocks, remove it completely. Get it out of the hole. Over-dig the hole size. If it's a one-gallon plant, which is basically 8 inches across on the root, you want to make that at least a foot wide so that when the new roots do come out, they have some nice soil to get started in. And once they're started, they can actually get into that ugly stuff because they have some energy and enthusiasm to go, hey, well, we're strong now. We can do this. But you want to dig those oversized planting holes and use all the compost material when planting. It'll save you money in the long run, and it'll save your plants in the long run. So the larger the hole with good soil, the better your plants will grow. Eventually, the root systems will be strong enough to grow into that native soil. And there are some places in Roseburg that actually have good soil, but, you know, for the most part, Douglas County is clay, is mm-hmm. rock, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean,
where is that good soil? Is that down by the river?
Down by the river, yeah. The people that live out by the college, they got pretty good soil there. Or somewhere along any river floodplain where for 100 years or 200 years or whatever, there have been periodic floods, and all that silt comes down the river from high up above and settles in your yard. Hey, that's yep. not a bad thing. That's okay. It's going to help you in the long run. But, you know, if you don't know how to analyze your soil, you can bring your soil samples, like, to the county extension agent to get an expert opinion, or call a landscaper who is knowledgeable about soils. And there are also testing kits available at garden centers and probably at the extension agency's office there by the courthouse. But just digging a hole and sticking a plant in the ground doesn't always guarantee survival. That's the bottom line.
Darn.
And a good soil mix is like some compost, some bark, some sand, and a little topsoil. Mix it all together with the native soil. Not a lot of native soil, but maybe 20% of the native soil if it's halfway decent. And if it's clay, you know, and you chop it up real fine and mix it with all this other good stuff, it's going to be a benefit to the plant, because clay is chock full of nutrition, because it doesn't drain worth anything. And that way you're going to be successful with your plants. Plants are expensive, okay? So don't waste your time and money without a good planting mix. That's the bottom line. You know, you buy a rhododendron, it's going to run you $30-$40, you know, or even more depending on the size. But even the 1 gallon plants nowadays are like, you know, $11.95, $12.95, you know, if it's halfway decent. And if you get, you know, 30 of those and 20 of something else, you've spent substantial dollars. So don't just buy them, dig a hole, stick them in, and then lose 50% of them in within 3-4 months mm-hmm. or 5 months, because you didn't prep the soil correctly. You didn't analyze that soil. So it's good. And the other thing along those same lines is drainage. Drainage is important to success. You know, clay, like I said, doesn't drain well and retains moisture longer than any other type of soil. And if you're planting next to a structure, such as a house, a garage, a walkway, make sure that it drains well. Make sure that it has a way to not collect water. And the excess water is not going to be good for the root systems. It's going to rot the root systems. And you may have to install drains or raise the soil level in your planting areas. Like building mounds in a flat yard is beneficial to any plantings that you install. So let's say you have a flat backyard, and you're going to want it mostly in lawn, but you want to decorate it with some different plants. Well, create some mounds. And if it's large enough, you could have 3 different mounds with, you know, and the mounds, oh, maybe they're 7-8 feet around, and at the center point where you're going to plant anything, it might be, you know, 18 inches deep, so that you know you're going to have good soil, and whatever you plant, like a tree or something like that, it's going to get rooted very quickly, and then eventually it will get down into the clay soil or the clay and rocky soil, whatever you have in your yard, and it's going to survive. And, you know, a good tree is going to cost you, you know, $70 to $100, and there are more expensive ones out there, but that's kind of the average around. If you go tree shopping, you'll see that, like anything else, the prices are going up, and ain't going to get any cheaper, I'll tell you that. Oh. With our current administration that's in
our
power.
What? I didn't hear that.
Current administration.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, boy. But like excess water, I said, is not good for root systems. And
that's right. We're in an extreme drought again. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I heard that. Extreme drought. How is it any more extreme than it was last year or the year before or the year before, for crying out loud?
I kind of chuckled when I read that. But.
Yeah, I've heard it 6 times on the radio today as I was driving around. Yeah, gosh, okay. But one of the best ways to check your drainage is that, like, after a heavy rain, should we have one, see where the water goes. If the water remains visible for several days after rain, you need to create a way to drain it. You need a something. This can be done with raised beds, which are easy, easier than digging a drainage system through the whole yard. You can do drain tile, but you gotta drain it somewhere. And I guess you could drain it out into the street. It could go down the gutters and all that.
Back to the river.
Back to the river eventually, yes.
Yeah.
But raised beds are like the least expensive and can add new features to your landscapes. They look good. They look exotic, if you will. And another method is to create a dry creek bed with you know, through the landscape where the excess water can go. And that's simple. The simple thing is to dig a small stream bed, if you will, maybe 8 inches deep and 24 inches wide, or larger if you have the energy. And then kind of wind it through your landscape where you've seen standing water, and point it towards somewhere where it can actually drain out of the backyard, maybe down the driveway or something like that. And then just put like 2-inch round rock in there, and maybe a couple of boulders, and make it look like a small creek, so that when it is raining cats and dogs, the water will be running on that rather than spreading in your yard and killing any of your plant materials, or putting mold on your lawn, because the water sits there for, you know, 2-3 weeks at a time. And that's a good thing to do. But your best bet is to hire like an experienced landscape contractor.
Like you.
Like me, yes. And I only do consultation nowadays. I don't do any installation. But and I draw plans. But
you know of a good one.
I know plenty of good ones. But but you get a good landscape contractor design a drain system that works. It's very attractive. It's functional and attractive. Over my years of design and installing landscapes in Douglas County, proper drainage was always the first thing on my list. Yeah. When I go to a yard and I ask the client, I said, well, what do you want to try to accomplish here? What's the look you want overall? And they'll say, well, I would like some lawn, and then I would like some shrubs here and a tree or two here. And the first thing I would do is dig a couple of test holes into the soil just to see what kind of soil it was. And then make some kind of determinations, especially if it was like a flat yard. You know, if you got a little slope, it's good. And I mean little slope, maybe 5-10%. So that whatever rain does hit there, it just doesn't sit there. It actually drains somewhere. Mm-hmm. And you may have to create that in your yard by adding the mounds, adding the soil, that kind of thing. And you got your hand on the trigger.
Yeah, we're mounding out of time.
Okay, well, all right.
I didn't say that right, but anyhow.
Yeah.
What's the phone number?
673-4464 if you have a question.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, let's see now. Now, when it gets cold, you want hot cider and...
No, hot chocolate.
Hot chocolate,
with
all right.
Marshmallows and whipped cream on top.
Gotcha, I'll put that in.
Okay, yeah, tell Kyle that's what I want. He'll roll his eyes and laugh, I think. But anyway, I'm talking about planning, and the first step of planning is, you know, checking your soil, making sure you've got proper drainage, so whatever you plant in there doesn't drown and the roots drop, you know, just drop off because they're suffocated with water and they can't grow and they die. And, you know, the you don't want to have to redo this over and over and over. No. So you got to bite the bullet. If you got a flat, non-draining yard, you got to bite the bullet and buy some soil and do some things so that it can actually drain off when we have when we have a heavy rain. You know, last week wasn't too bad. It rained almost every day at my house, just a little bit.
Oh, it did, didn't it? That's
drizzled.
Right.
It drizzled, and then maybe 4 or 5 minutes, it would just come down real hard, then it'd go back to a drizzle. And I thought, why doesn't it do the hard one for about an hour? You know, really soak this place.
Get the job done.
That's right. Then the governor wouldn't call us a drought place or something like that. What'd she say? We're drought... there's a term I think she used, but
drought emergency.
Drought emergency.
Oh, it's the top story. Here we are.
Oh, well, you should know that. What's wrong with
you? extreme conditions.
Extreme, yes. More extreme than Eastern Oregon, who gets no rain at all for crying out loud, who tried to raise cows and hay.
And crops.
Yeah. Oh gosh. But getting back to design.
Record low flows, she says, of the rivers and streams.
Well, yeah. It is, what, it's just the first part of September. we had a miserable July and August, you know. Really?
She's from Oregon, isn't she?
I don't know. I have no idea. You know, when I knew it was extreme drought is when I saw the salmon hopping from rock to rock and then jumping in.
Drying
it. Whoa, it must be dry down there.
Yeah.
But the North Umpqua looks pretty good to me. I mean, I saw it today. South Umpqua is a little bit low, but it's not, you know, it's running.
Not like what it has been.
No. We drought conditions, we haven't had the rainfall this year or in the last 3 or 4 years that would be average or normal. So, you know, the long-term impact of that is that the soils dry out. And, you know, that's why you're seeing some of the, Douglas fir and stuff on the hills, mm-hmm. the young stuff that are turning brown simply because the soil moisture isn't there.
Right. You know,
that's how it happens. Natural. And then the fires, my gosh. Oh, gosh, I can't stand the fires. It's so smoky out there right now.
Oh, is it?
Oh, yeah. You know, 2 hours ago,
it was
a little bit of smoke. But right now, I was out in Garden Valley out by River Forks.
Yeah.
And it's like a cloud bank. You can't, it's just brown. The winds have shifted from probably the fire up to the north there, up by Yoncalla or wherever it is. Yeah. And
what a difference an hour makes.
Yeah. And when you get the wind shift, for crying out loud.
Wow.
So when I design a landscape with a potential water problem, I have to, first figure out what to do with the excess water. You know, where do I put it? What do I construct that would
so be? You can bottle it and sell it.
Yeah, right. Not in December you can't. But then the design for the landscape for plant survival is, like I say, super important. And here in Douglas County, you know, where we can, and I've seen this, get significant rain.
Oh, yes.
You know, this can be a challenge. But like I say, in the last 3 or even 4 years, we haven't had that problem because you think, well, November's here, or December's here in January, and it's going to rain. Well, even those winter storms have not developed to the point that they once did, on the average.
Mm-hmm.
We've been so far below on our average precipitation for the last few years.
Used to be one right after the other.
Oh, yeah.
Seemed.
Just banging away, and you're thinking, is it ever going to get spring?
Yeah.
But anyway, and I was talking about mounding earlier, but to get rid of excess water around your plantings. But another way is you can do this is by digging a sump, basically a hole in the ground in your yard, and filling that sump, say, with drain rock, or if possible, again, creating a creek bed to direct excess water away from your foundations or your patios or your sidewalks into the sump. And the sump depends on how much energy you have and, is your shovel sharp enough? It can be 3 feet deep and 3 feet in diameter, and excess rain will, if it's sloped right, it'll flow into there and relieve the rest of the yard with excess moisture. Mm-hmm. And then if it's filled with rock, and it could be filled with decorative rock, but the bigger rock where the water would drain right through it, that would be the only wet spot in your yard. And you can do it artistically. You can make it look like part of the landscape. It's like when I was talking about the little creek that you can create for drainage out to your downspouts or down your driveway or whatever. Depends on your yard. You dig those just a little bit deeper, and that way that excess moisture has a place to flow out.
Right.
And, so many times, not so much in the last few years like we were just saying, but prior to that, when we were getting regular rainfall, it was really an important part of a whole landscape plan. And you'd have to explain that to the client and say, this is, if we don't do this, this is going to happen, and we can't, we can't guarantee that the plants will survive if we don't take corrective upfront action here in your yard and design something that looks good and is usable all at the same time. And most folks get it. Most folks understand and say, yeah, when you explain, this could happen and that could happen and that could happen. So to prevent all that, we're going to do this. And I go, okay, that sounds good. But a sump, like I say, a hole in the ground.
A sump, not a swamp.
A sump, S-U-M-P. Sump.
Not what Trump wanted to drain.
No. But from that sump, you could have start creating a creek bed to direct the excess water away from your foundations, away from your patio or sidewalks, if you have a sidewalk, into the backyard or even in the front yard. Most sidewalks are in the front yard. the dry creek bed effect can be very decorative and winding through the landscape. And we have many places to buy decorative rock of different colors and different sizes. Magnolia Farms is a good one. The co-op out in Wilbur is another. They have I don't know the names of the rocks, but they have greens and red rock and green rock and then just the regular gray stuff that we we have in the rivers and
in
stuff
abundance.
Like that. Yeah, in abundance. And a little bit of that rock will go a long way, and just like I say, will really enhance your landscape. But you have to, if you've never done it before and you're trying to do it yourself, I suggest you hire somebody to kind of at least consult with you, which I do. But you need to be aware of the... You can't build a little ditch and call it good. It has to be significant if it's in a flat yard, and it has to be significant so that it can look good and it can be decorative. It could be windy, not just a straight line somewhere, but something that curves around, and you've got mounds planted on either side of it, so they look like miniature mountains with trees and shrubs on it, and make it a real, I don't want to say exotic, but
decorative
and natural looking landscape. But it looks good. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, as you drive around some of the neighborhoods, especially in some of the newer home areas where they've been there for maybe 10, 15 years, and they were more landscape conscious, I guess we'd say, with new ideas and things. Because like any other industry, it evolves. Everything's evolving, and there's new stuff coming along all the time. See what others have done. If you're driving in a neighborhood and you see something like that, or what you think it might be, stop and if there's somebody out in the yard, ask them, how'd you do that? What did it take? What did it cost? How deep is the ditch? How much rock did you have to get? Just kind of get a basic idea of what's all entailed before you start the project.
Mm-hmm.
And then you may want to do it yourself, but you say, well, I'm not going to dig that kind of ditch. I'm going to hire a 15 or 16-year-old strong high school kid to get in there and do that stuff for me. And,
one of them young studs.
Yeah, one of them studs with lots of muscles on them.
Well, we have a phone call.
Okay.
Good afternoon. You're on the air with Mike.
Hi.
Hello, I love your show. My uncle's got a neglected couple of Rose of Sharon's. I know they're 50 or 60 years old. I took starts off of them about 20 years ago, and mine is doing well. It's a slow grower, but it's about 6 feet tall, and it's full of blossoms and nice and green. This has been let go several years, and it's just a bundle of canes, dozens of half-inch rods, full of lichens, all dried up, hasn't had much water. And I've got an idea on how to bring them back, but I don't know if it's right.
Tell me your idea.
I'm thinking I ought to bob them back to one or two main stems and maybe lightly scrub the lichens off with a Scotch-Brite or something like that. I hope it's going to harm them. I don't know exactly what to do.
So tell me again what kind of plant you're talking about.
Rose of Sharon.
Rose of Sharon, okay. They're a tough plant, and there's not much you can do to hurt them, I'll tell you that. So if
you
really, I'm serious. They can grow in gravel, for crying out loud. But but you know, if you got some dead stems and things like that, just go ahead and whack them out of there, open it up, and so that there's air circulation through the plant. And then how tall is it?
Maybe 6 feet tall.
Yeah, you could knock it down to about 4 feet tall and, you know, open it up, give it a little bit of liquid fertilizer. You know, it's still growing and it's still warm. So a good shot of some good liquid fertilizer. Usually it's like two.
Do you want to wait till the wintertime?
No, not on the liquid. It's still receiving nutrition in its root system right now. So if it's a little bit weak, you can get you know, some good stuff at the co-op or one of the box stores and read the label. And usually it's about two to three tablespoons of the liquid fertilizer to a gallon of water, and you know, give them a good shot, give them maybe a couple of gallons of mix, and that'll be good. You won't have to do anything else till next spring. But the pruning is really important to get rid of, you know, weak stems that are barely going and you know, not really looking good. Get rid of all that and leave the best ones, and you'll be amazed.
Just
at what
a good one, leave it be, okay.
Yeah, and next spring you'll see the significance of that. And then next spring, oh, say about, oh, end of February, 1st of March, get some good granular fertilizer and spread it, not liberally, but give it a good shot around the base of the plant, and let the nature take its course from there, and you'll see a significant difference. You'll probably go, oh no, it grew 20 feet tall, what the heck. No, it won't, but but it sounds, it's in, is it planted in a bed or a lawn or what?
It's on the edge of an old garden, and it's not great soil. It's out in Dillard. It's kind of the hard pan clay that we've got around here.
But oh, yeah.
It's hung in there all these years.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
well,
the big one. It's
they need to be cut back once in a while to force some new growth.
Okay.
You know.
How about the lichens that's on them? Is it too aggressive to scrub the lichens off? Or?
Yeah. Just take a rag or something like that and just wipe it up and down the stem, and that's the best way. Or your hand, it doesn't matter, but a rag of some sort, a soft cloth, and just wipe them off, and because they're sucking some energy from the plant, and if you eliminate that, hey, it's gonna be thankful that you did that.
Okay, that's terrific. Thank you, sir.
Hey, thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
Thanks. All right, what's our phone number there, Mike?
673-4464. Any questions, fair game, so shoot it to me.
There you go. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Sorry, we were trying to figure out what our president just said on the news there. We didn't know.
Yeah, we couldn't figure it out. So at any rate, thank you for the call from the gentleman. And if you have a call on anything in your yard that you don't know what to do with, call up, ask the question. I'll give you some information. More than likely, it'll be correct, too.
There you go.
Yeah. And I've been talking about drainage and that kind of thing in your yard. At my house, I have a mountain in my backyard. I mean, a real mountain. And the toe of the mountain is probably 6-7 feet from the house, from the back of the house. It's very stable. It has timber on it and things like that, lots of vegetation. So, but when I first moved in there, I thought, well, I'll build a retaining wall. And my brother and I built a retaining wall. It's 3-3.5 feet tall, and out of those big blocks, like from Willamette Greystone, mm-hmm. or I think it was Willamette Greystone that delivered them. It's been 35 years or something, you know, back when I could lift them.
A couple of moons ago.
Yeah, and, you know, then they're hollow, and we filled them with gravel and rock on the way up every row. And then we put a drainage system behind it with the black perf pipe and drained it out. So any moisture, if we had a heavy rain, and back mm-hmm. in those days we did, any heavy rain would hit the planter area and then drain left or right. And,
yep.
You know, and it's been solid all these years. The only problem I've had with it is the yellow jackets building nests in it.
Oh, they like it.
Yeah, I know. I mean, come on. But, and I have plants on top of the wall. My bonsai collection is on top of the wall. I got about 30, 35 bonsai plants. And so it's decorative. And I've got a koi pond right behind it with three waterfalls. So, you know, we took a wilderness area and made a kind of an exotic garden out of it. But
nice.
It took a few years. It didn't, you know, it didn't do it all in one day.
It wasn't overnight.
No, it wasn't not overnight. Oh, gosh. You know, and hand collected most of the stones and the rock that went into the koi pool.
Cool.
The only problem I've had with the koi pool is the birds that come down and eat my fish.
And the otters.
The otters, they blew my mind when my wife says, yeah, there was two otters in your pond that ate all the fish today. And she went out to scare them away, and they growled or did something at her.
Yeah, yeah.
And she threw a rock at them, and they jumped out of the pool and ran up into the timber.
They didn't like that rock.
No, they didn't. They didn't like my wife at all. And I said, well, watch out. You don't want to get otter bit.
No.
But the mountain hasn't moved an inch in all that time. And like I say, there's plenty of vegetation. There's plenty of young trees on there. We've taken some of the brushy stuff out, but it's solidly, there's good roots there. It's not going to come down on us at all. So, but that's our drainage system there. I don't mm-hmm. have one in the front yard because it's flat. And I don't need one in
the
front
no
yard.
Need for one.
Yeah,
no,
it's flat. I mow it. It's okay, you know. But, you know, it's something that you might think, well, if I have a very steep slope in my backyard, and many homes in Roseburg and surrounding area, especially the newer homes, because they've run out of a lot of flat ground to build houses on, so they're building on, you know, slopes. So if you have that kind of situation, you know, a small retaining wall with drain rock behind it, with some perf pipe behind and buried into the drain rock, that's going to take care of a lot of your problems. That's going to keep the yard intact. It's not going to go anywhere. Do we have a call?
We do. You're okay. On the air with Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
I bought, it's a hybrid tea rose, uh-huh. and I'd say it's about in a gallon-sized pot.
Yeah.
And it does say it can be in a container, but I do have a bigger pot. Should I put it in? It's a regular yard pot, you know, that's mm-hmm. probably about 7 gallons their size.
Yeah,
did I put it in that?
That would work. That would work real well, and it could stay in there for, you know, quite some time, provided as you feed it on a regular basis with mm-hmm. like rose food.
I did buy some rose food.
Good, good. Because that's specifically made for roses, you know, all the different nutrition in there. But if you got like a 7 gallon or a 10 gallon pot, you know, something that was like 20 or 24 inches wide and maybe 18 inches deep, it could live in that for quite a few years. And keep it pruned. Okay. Don't let it go wild. You know, keep it pruned to where it's nice and bushy and full, and it'll bloom for you and look good for you. It's still the only thing is
right now it's about 2 feet tall. It's got really pretty roses on it. It's called Rosa Enchanted Peace.
Uh-huh.
And it's got some that are like pink and yellow, and then others that are kind of golden orangish colored.
Yeah.
So it surprises you what color they're going to be when they open up.
Oh,
so,
yeah. I know. I've got one in my backyard.
Uh-huh.
And like I say, pruning, you know, if it gets too many branches in the middle of the plant and there's, you know, just a maze of branches, you want to prune those out before they get established and keep the main stems and, you know, keep pruning the main stems a little bit each year, and it'll last, I don't know, forever, but it'll last quite a few years in a larger pot.
So you don't need to, like, wait till fall and then do pruning? You just kind of do it as it...
Well, fall is probably the best time, but if you're lightly pruning, you can prune at any time.
Mm-hmm.
I had a rose hedge at my yard in Roseburg 100 years ago, and it was the wildest thing you ever saw, and I got so sick of it, I went out with a chainsaw, and I cut it flush to the ground. I thought, I can't stand this thing, because it was like 6-7 feet tall and ugly, and yeah, it bloomed, but it was, you know, it was waving all around and looked ugly. So I cut it down with a chainsaw, and I thought, good, that'll fix it. Well, within a month, I think, month and a half, there were brand new shoots coming up out of it. And the following spring, it was the most beautiful rose hedge on the whole street. And it was like, oh, gosh, 60 feet long, something like that, right in front, right along behind my mailbox. And it was nuts. It was crazy. But I kept it at
you
about...
You did a good thing.
You can't kill them buggers. Yeah, I mean, they just grow. But after that, I learned how to just, you know, keep it about, you know, 4 feet, maybe 4.5 feet. And it was always full and beautiful that way.
Uh-huh. So that's a good size for me to keep this.
Yeah. In a big pot, 4 feet would be probably maximum size, because it'll grow and you know, just light pruning, like I say, and it's the thinning of, like I said, the a lot of extra little branches in the interior of the plant. They don't bloom. All they're doing is sucking nutrition from the main stem. So just cut them off, eliminate them, and leave the good sized ones.
Okay, great. Well, I bought this, I think it was like about 2 weeks ago, and you were talking that day, I know, about tea roses, and I tried to call in, and for some reason the station wasn't accepting my calls. I tried about 6 times.
Really?
So I don't know, and I didn't hear that anybody else ever called you, but that's not to say, you know, maybe nobody wanted to try,
well,
you know.
Well, you weren't calling collect, were you?
Oh, no. No.
It was probably one of those weeks that we had an encore presentation. It was previously recorded.
Yeah. That means I wasn't here, and they had to do an old tape or something, so.
Okay, because it did have, like, somebody else called in, but that was on the tape.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So,
but I'm live today. I'm right here.
Yes, we're alive and well.
Well, that's good to know.
Okay. Well, thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
Yes. Thank you for the information.
Oh, you're welcome.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Time for another break. And our phone number, Mike.
673-4464. Any questions, fair game.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right. Can you believe it? We're into our last segment already of the day.
Oh, no, man. Let's do a couple more hours.
Yeah, we still have time for a couple more phone calls,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, we do. 673-4464 if you want to ask a question before I get into my next segment here. I've been talking about retaining walls and drainage and all that kind of stuff. But another item to consider this time of year.
Yes.
After your garden quits producing, is to do a cleanup prior to winter. In other words, get in there and any weeds you got, pull them out, spray them out, whatever you want to do. But if you clean it up and till it now prior to the wet season, which I don't know when's going to come, you're going to have less weed growth come back. You know, but prepare for next year, you know, within like the next 30 days or something like that. And then in the spring, you're not going to be, you know, fighting 3 foot tall weeds and all the other stuff that's got seeds in the ground. You're just kind of preempting the seeds and getting rid of them right off the deal. Mm-hmm. But while you're tilling them up, you can add compost material like old bark, sawdust, or leaves to lay on top for the winter. And that'll keep the weed population at bay as well. So when the spring rolls around, all that material will have broken down and have added good organic material to your soil. Better garden, better produce, more produce. And, you know, when the spring finally gets here, you're ready to plant. You don't have to do any major cleanup to get ready. But each time you do this, you're adding natural nutrition to your garden. And this increases your crop for that year. It's simple and
nice.
It's easy.
Speaking of which,
yes,
I threw out some eggshells out into the...
Good.
Remember our talk show the other night? The other day?
Yeah, the other night, whatever.
And I crushed them up.
Good.
So there we go.
Good.
I remember.
Put it around your strange plant there.
I did.
Okay.
Yeah, I did. And I also threw some potatoes that were starting there. Eye out.
You'll probably have a bushel full of them. I've made mistakes with potatoes. They grow, man.
I threw it under the China vine. So we'll
oh, boy. It's going to be a fight.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope it. Never mind.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you do your fall prep, what you're going to do is make your gardening and your landscaping less labor intensive. And it becomes a pleasure instead of a burden, you know. And just if you let it go for a while and say, I'll get it next week, I'll get it next month, and then next month comes along and something else happens, oh, I'll get it in another week or month. And pretty soon you got this gigantic thing. If you do want to have a garden, you're going to have to get in there with a cow to eat the grass or something. But when I lived in town in Roseburg, in my backyard, I had a garden there. And it was a chore to prepare every spring. I didn't have all the knowledge then that I do now. You know, but weeds covered the space, and they were thick. They were 2 feet tall.
Jeez.
And I didn't add any compost or bark. So I ended up tilling the same old clay each spring. You know, it grew real well. But it took several tillings to get it all cleaned up to where you could actually plant a garden in there. And it took me a few years to learn how to lighten the soil and lighten the load. And I finally discovered mulch, peat moss, compost in my tilling time. You know, it made a vast improvement in labor and productivity, and it became less of a chore. It was more, hey, the garden's looking good. You know, that stuff works. I like that. You know, it's good. Now I've graduated to raised beds, and it's easier still. Much less work and many more tomatoes, zucchinis, peppers, potatoes, etc. I got more zucchinis than a human ought to be able to eat. I think my wife cooks them every night. I'm not sure, but she does it well. It's not just boiled zucchini. It's like fried in butter and onions, and it's good. But the bottom line in all this is to enjoy your yard instead of being a slave to it. And that's how I try to think of issues that I can talk about on the radio so that, You know, it's like, oh, I hate this yard. This is so much trouble, blah, blah. Well, let's make it easier. There are ways to make it easier, and that's what I try to stress on each show. How do you make your yard more beautiful and easier to take care of all at the same time if you do this, and this?
Let it work for you.
Exactly. Exactly. And if you can't get a vision of what to do, try buying some gardening books with photos, and you'll get a vision for your own yard. You know, just contemplate, what do I want? How do I want it to look? And maybe draw some sketches, or just go through neighborhoods or whatever and get some good fresh ideas and say, how could I incorporate that into my own place? And if you live in a condo or an apartment, it's even easier because you don't have a bunch of stuff to till up. You can grow your veggies in pots on your deck, and it's a whole lot less work to do that kind of thing. So at any rate, hopefully all the information I've given over the years actually has been helpful to the listening audience, and I've done my fair share of mistakes, not so much in the last 20 years or 30 years, but in the first 4 or 5 years getting started as a landscape contractor and a nursery guy, you know, there was a lot of stuff I didn't know. I mean, I was learning a lot, and I had 2 degrees in forestry, and I knew how to grow stuff, and I've been growing stuff since I was a little kid. But landscaping and drainage and all those kinds of things, you learn as you go, and you learn as you make mistakes, and try to make it better and enhance your place at the same time. So, we got anything else?
Nope.
Okay.
We got a few more seconds.
Seconds? Well, I hope you enjoyed the show. I enjoy doing it every Wednesday. Hope you learn something from what I say, and I give you straightforward information so that you can have success in your yard. And that's my bottom line. I want you to be successful in what you do in your yard. Thank you.
All right. What's your phone number if they want to call you?
679-4100. That's my home phone.
Uh-oh. I thought I was giving out another number.
No, it's my home phone. I do consulting and that kind
of thing. That's what I meant. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway.
Now you messed me up.
The Afternoon Report is next. News Radio 93.9 FM, 1240 KQEN.